Michael Krawitz here, reporting from Vienna, Austria, the home of the International Narcotics Control Board and the UN Office of Drug Control and Crime Prevention, or sometimes called the UN Drug Czar's Office, for Dean Becker on the Drug Truth Radio Network. I'm very pleased to have the opportunity today to interview Mr. Martin Jelsma of the Transnational Institute from Netherlands. Transnational Institute is a forefront organization of scholar activists that produces some of the best documentation that exists to assist activists, policymakers, and the public at large understand and better participate with the United Nations drug control system. Information I personally find indispensable in understanding what is happening here in the process of the UN drug control system. We are here today attending the very last phase of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. Martin Jelsma, our listeners may remember, received the Linda Smith Award from the Drug Policy Alliance. Now I would like to let Martin introduce himself and present perhaps a little of his history that led him to this important work on international drug policy with the Transnational Institute. It is now and I'll ask Martin to introduce himself to you and let him explain a little bit about what brings him to drug policy as a study and perhaps explain a little bit about exactly what it is that a scholar activist does. And with no further ado, here is Martin Jelsma.
Yeah, I coordinate the Drugs and Democracy Program at the Transnational Institute that has by now a history of about 15 years. And the way I came into the drugs issue was through the previous work I did in Latin America. So I worked already with farmers organizations in Latin America on other issues, on more general rural development issues, but also on the issue of the more political issues about the conflicts in Latin America, the difficult transition at some point from military dictatorships to democracies. And in that process and the subsequent work with farmer organizations in there, the drugs issue came up as one of the issues that was relevant for a number of reasons. Now the most obvious one is, of course, that for a sector of farmers and especially the ones who are living in very conflictive areas in the Andean region, but also in Mexico, coca and opium poppy crops have become one of the means of survival and how dealing with the difficult circumstances they have to deal with. But at that time, the drugs issue also had other aspects to it. Now, in the transition from military dictatorships to democracies, it was one of the major worries that a domestic role for the military sort of continued by giving them a counter-narcotics role. Military cooperation between the U.S. and several armies and army intelligence bodies in Latin America continued, legitimized by the war on drugs. And you also saw the complicated dynamic that with the dismantling of some of the military dictatorships, sort of an alliance started to happen between criminal groups and demobilized military intelligence personnel, and that led to powerful groups heavily involved in drug trafficking, but also representing a menace to the transition to democracy. So all these factors together made us at that time decide to start a specialized program on the drugs issue. We started by setting up a whole network in Latin America of people to work with at the grassroots level with farmers' organizations, but also with scholars, academics in the region. And in the course of the program, we gradually expanded also towards other areas in the world. So we now also have work in Southeast Asia, in Afghanistan, and already early in the process, we took a special interest in how the UN system tried to deal with all these drug-related problems. So for more than 12 years I'm participating in these Commission on Narcotic Drugs meetings. We were involved in the UNGAS in New York in 1998, and we have become one of the most specialized institutes, I would say, in critically monitoring what happens in this drug control corner of the UN system, so the working of the ICB, UNODC, and the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. That, of course, has to do with the nature of the work TNI does. Drugs is not the only issue TNI is busy with. You already mentioned the word scholar activist. We are not an academic research institute. We do work closely with social organizations. We have a clear mission in the sense that our work is meant to contribute to make the world a better place, to put it in simple terms. But any research and advocacy work we do now is not out of interest in the subject, but as part of a social struggle to repair the injustices that happen in this case in the name of the war on drugs, and to actively contribute also with substantiated by solid research, with sophisticated policy recommendations to to engage directly in policy discussions about it, in order to make drug policies more humane, more effective, more consistent with human rights, more from a health and development perspective. So for us, the drugs issue is always seen in the bigger context of the social problems and any policy responses to drug-related problems should also be seen in this bigger context on how to improve the lives of the ones who are somehow caught up in this illicit economy, or who have problems related to the consumption of drugs, but always from point of view of solidarity with the ones who are caught up in this issue, and to think along as best as possible with the ones who are directly affected by it, to elaborate concrete policy recommendations on what needs to be changed in dealing with these problems, in order to help the ones most affected.
Well, I'd like to get to some of those specific policy recommendations in a minute, but if you could, just very briefly, as you said, Transnational Institute is involved in a lot of other different fields of endeavor and activities relating to other issues. If you could just give us a quick overview of some of the different irons in the fire, so to speak, that Transnational Institute has at this time.
Yeah, there are a number of program areas. One has to do with water policy and energy policies. That's also an area where a lot of very concrete work goes on in terms of finding alternatives to the privatization of water companies. There's a lot of work going on in the environmental justice field, climate change issues, the carbon trade, dilemmas. There's work going on around more conflict resolution, conflict prevention in different areas of the world, Middle East, Afghanistan. There's attempt to facilitate and strengthen sort of regional alliances or broader social movements to interact with regional integration processes in Southern Africa, Latin America, and in Asia. So yeah, those are the broader areas of work, and of course within that there are more specific studies and publications and conferences that are held on the more particulars on in those broader areas.
Now, you've mentioned that the Transnational Institute makes policy recommendations, very specific policy recommendations, and I wonder if you could tell our audience what office that you would find that you most relate with and interact with in the UN drug control system, and how well Transnational Institute has been received, how well your information that you have provided has been received, especially recently at this CND.
We do have a lot of interaction with UNODC, with their local offices in the countries we work in, but also here in headquarters and then primarily with the research and policy section. And the work at the level of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs runs mainly through contacts with member states, because that's how the CND operates. It is a collection of member states. So one of the main mechanisms we have developed to contribute to that process is a series of informal policy dialogues that we are now running in Europe, in Latin America, and in Southeast Asia, where we bring together carefully selected officials from ministries, from groups of countries who are willing and interested to have a more honest and open-minded exchange of the views on drug policy and the dilemmas they face. And in those meetings, we always prepare for the annual Commission on Narcotic Drug meetings. Those are always closed meetings, because we need to give the government officials a certain level of confidentiality. So it's Chatham House rule, as it's called. Everybody can speak without the fear of being quoted outside of the meeting. But that has helped a lot to get the discussion about policy dilemmas and about issues that are on the agenda of the CND at a more open-minded level, because most of the formal policy environments where officials meet each other at the international level are very bureaucratic type of meetings. Everybody has to speak strictly based on instructions of the government and in line with government policy. And in our informal dialogues, officials can also express their own doubts, their dilemmas, their struggle with finding the best answers And it has helped definitely to prepare groups of countries to come with a more coordinated and prepared opinion to the annual CND meetings and also to this whole UNGAS review process that we're now finishing this week.
Yes, and that's an interesting point. This not being just another annual Commission on Narcotic Drugs meeting, but actually a 10-year review process of the international drug control treaties. I wonder if maybe you could help our listeners understand what has happened here in the big picture. We've produced some documents that the United Nations will now take as the platform of the next 10 years. We've heard a lot on the news about dissent over words like harm reduction. There have been a good deal of reservations added to some of these consensus documents that many people are unclear exactly what that means, if it changes the consensus or changes the weight of the document as we move forward, and perhaps where we go from here. When is the next review? I've heard mention of a 5-year review and a 10-year review. So maybe if you could help us understand the documents that they've produced here, what they mean, and exactly what is the next big step. And obviously the next little step would be, I guess, another CND meeting next year. But what would be the next big step? And what can we expect maybe to change between now and then?
Yeah, well, the bigger picture is that in 98 there was a special session of the General Assembly in New York devoted to the drugs issue. At that meeting, there were a number of key issues, and I would say especially between the northern and the southern part of the world, or the more and less developed sides of the world, and it has brought at that point new language into the UN system about a balanced approach and shared responsibility. Alternative development was introduced. There was more attention to more of the northern responsibilities in this drugs market, like money laundering issues, chemical precursors that are used in cocaine and heroin production. And so there was a set of action plans, and the one of the most ambitious targets that was agreed in 98 was in 10 years' time to eliminate or significantly reduce the cultivation of coca, opium and cannabis around the world, and have significant reduction also of demand of these drugs. So a year ago the review process started. So the aim was to take stock of whether or not the world had met with these ambitious targets, and to also work towards a new political declaration action plan to incorporate the lessons learned in the past decade about what works and what does not work in drug policy. Now, this has been a very complicated and often frustrating process. There was a year of global reflection to think through, discuss and negotiate the different views about this in many working groups that took place already last year, and then negotiations started around November about the text for the new political declaration and action plan. So the ultimate outcome that we now have on the table is, in my opinion, a highly disappointing outcome of this whole process. And disappointing because it's basically repeats the same ambitious target for the next decade to again eliminate or significantly reduce, etc. And it has not managed to incorporate really the lessons that can be drawn from this past decade. And some of those lessons should be in the first place that the target of 98 has completely failed. The drugs market has not been significantly reduced at all. And that's not simply a fact to acknowledge in terms of a failure, but it also should lead to another perception about how to deal with the reality of a persisting presence, existence of this drugs economy. Realize that this is not something that is going to go away, that current policies are in that regard ill-targeted, because they are still based on the basic assumption that by attacking production you can somehow force this market out of the picture, that you can reduce it by destroying fields, by seize shipments, by arresting traffickers and dealers, and there should be a realization that this has not worked and it also will not work in the future. In the documents approved now there's not a big applause about the achievements. There's some recognition that there is in that results indeed have been disappointing, that only some progress can be registered, but there is not the more conceptual shift in policy guidelines towards policies that accept the presence of this market and that therefore prioritize to reduce the harms that are related with the presence of that market, and the harms not only for in terms of health problems for consumers of drugs, but also harms and consequences in terms of the level of violence associated with the criminality of the market, human rights violations that take place in the name of drug control, the problems this drug control system has caused for the access to essential medicines. There are a number of issues where there have been very serious consequences of these policies. And by taking as a priority more a focus on the harms that are related to the existence of the drugs market, and to look much more carefully also at the consequences of the current drug control policies, that should have been sort of the major shift to happen if you would honestly reflect about achievements and failures in the past decade. And on all of those issues I would say the results are disappointing. That is not to say that all this effort of the review process has been has not led to anything. I think the good thing is that all these issues, including the relation between drug control and HIV/AIDS prevention, the issue of access to essential medicines, relation to internal control and human rights, harm reduction principles. All these issues have come to the table at the Commission on Narcotic Drugs in all these working groups and negotiations. So for the first time, there have been quite substantial discussions about these issues. And some of that, but very little, also is reflected in the action plan, especially. But I think the value of having these issues on the table is high, and it's also clear that that has set things in motion that are not going to stop here at this moment. This will continue. The disappointment has to do with it. It became clear that the time is not ripe for a new consensus that agrees on really adapted UN guiding principles for drug control for the next century, for the next decade at least. And that has to do with the consensus-driven process of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. They have to negotiate everything to the lowest common denominator. And there are, of course, a number of countries who are not interested at all in changing anything in the current drug control system and simply want to continue the way we've been doing for the last 50 years or so. So that easily blocks progress, because there has to be achievement. There has to be a consensus achieved. But meanwhile, and that's the more positive side, you do see a growing group of countries that become more outspoken about the need to rethink some of the aspects of drug policy, and that group will continue to grow stronger and stronger because they have the evidence behind them, and will hopefully lead towards the next moment at the UN level, towards at least some steps further towards a breakthrough. And the next moments. Now, you already said there will be the annual meetings. There will be in 2014, there will be another high-level meeting of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs, the first five-year sort of midterm review about the measures taken on the basis of this new political declaration and action plan. But it is possible that there for example, the year 2012 will also be used for a special moment of reflection, because that will be 100 years after the adoption of the first international opium convention in The Hague at the time. In 2011, already, we have the 50-year anniversary of the 1961 Single Convention, which is the first of the three treaties that are now forming the backbone of the UN drug control system. So those moments of commemoration can also be used to reflect about some of the basic principles of the treaty system behind this UN drug control system.
It really strikes me that if you look at this process on a day-to-day basis, you can become quite sad at the slow pace. But then if you pull back your perspective a little bit and look at it at a 10-year pace, it does seem to move. And there is quite a bit of hope that I see in what you say. And I think that we will be anxiously awaiting the next time that we can talk with you and hear the next level of these conversations and the next breaking point when we might find a new path and a new direction. And we certainly are inspired by all the countries that have registered dissent and have tried to find a new way to deal with these ever increasingly time-consuming and money-consuming and lifetime consuming drug problems that exist in our community. And I thank you so much for sharing your time with us today and helping us to understand a little bit about what the Transnational Institute does. I definitely highly encourage our listeners to check out their website, tni.org, and review some of the materials that are there on drug policy. I consider them to be required reading. And I would just ask now if you have anything that you'd like to close with to leave the last word with our listeners.
Thank you. Especially for U.S. audience, of course, one of the big questions will be for all of us in the rest of the world, what the new Obama administration will change in this drug policy field. So there is a big task ahead for those groups in the U.S. who are also trying to improve drug policies and to make them more humane and not only for domestically to solve the big problems that there are in the U.S. in terms of this incredible incarceration rates, the stupid difference between the crack and powder distinction, and all the issues that are very well known, I guess, to most of these listeners. But it's only, and that's the point I want to stress, very important for the rest of the world what this Obama administration will be able to change in their drug policy, because they do have a lot of influence in many countries, but they also have had a very, very negative impact on the UN discussions, and we have been the US administration has been one of the obstacles to adopt more sensible UN guidelines on drug policy for the world. So there's a big challenge ahead for all those groups in the US who are struggling on this issue.
Well, I hope we're up to the challenge, and I hope we don't let you down. I do thank you for your time, Martin Jelsma from the Transnational Institute, Netherlands. And this has been Michael Krawitz reporting from the Vienna headquarters of the United Nations. Over and out.